The epistle is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 12. Brethren, be not wise in your own conceits, to no man rendering evil for evil, providing good things not only in the sight of God, but also in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as is in you, having peace with all men, not revenging yourselves, my dearly beloved, but give place unto wrath, for it is written, Revenge is mine, and I will repay, saith the Lord. But if thy enemy be hungry, give him to eat. If he thirst, give him to drink. For doing this, thou shalt reap heap coals of fire upon his head. Be not overcome by evil, but overcome evil by good. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 8. At that time, when Jesus was come down from the mountain, the great multitudes follow him. And behold, a leper came and adored him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, stretching forth his hand, touched him, saying, I will, be thou made clean. And forthwith his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith to him, See that thou tell no man, but go, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. And when he had entered into Capernaum, there came to him a centurion, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, and is grievously tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion, making answer, said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man subject to authority, having under me soldiers, and I say to this man, Go, and he goeth, to another, Come, and he cometh, and to my servant, Do this, and he doeth it. And Jesus, hearing this, marveled and said to them that followed him, Amen, I say to you, I have not found so great faith in Israel. And I say to you that many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into the exterior darkness. There shall be the weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said to the centurion, Go, and as thou hast believed, so be it done to thee. And the servant was healed at that same hour. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. I have not found such great faith in Israel. Then Jesus said to the centurion, Go your way, as you have believed, so be it done to you. These words are taken from the Gospel of today's Mass, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, in about the year 316 AD, Licinius, the Eastern Emperor, went against a standing agreement that he had with Constantine, who was the Western Emperor ruling Rome. And he began to attack Christianity in his part of the empire. Like most of his pagan predecessors, he claimed that he was God. And he went so far as to order that everyone in the realm would be compelled to worship him. Licinius began by compelling even the soldiers and the generals to offer incense to him. However, when Licinius gave this command, 40 of his soldiers, who had recently been converted to the Catholic faith, refused to blaspheme God and to offer this incense to the emperor. Like all proud and haughty men, Licinius was enraged by this opposition, and he immediately ordered that these brave soldiers be frozen to death on a pond. They had to stand with very little clothing throughout the entire night on a frozen pond. These brave and courageous soldiers immediately fulfilled this death sentence. Sadly, though, one of the soldiers could not endure the suffering, so he denied his faith and he offered the incense to Licinius. However, he quickly received an eternal sentence for his infidelity. For as soon as he offered the incense, he was taken to very warm baths where he could hopefully recover from the chill that he experienced on the pond. Well, as soon as this unfortunate man entered into the baths, the change in temperature was too great for his weak body, and the unfortunate man immediately died a pagan. But it seemed that that night God really wanted 40 men to witness the faith, to be witnesses of the faith, and so he allowed the good example of the 39 other soldiers to affect the bystanders. In fact, the faithful soldiers were so happy to suffer for the faith that they began to sing songs of praise to God, even while they were actually freezing to death. Their courage was so great that the general who had been sent to make sure that the torture was carried out did something equally heroic as his men. After watching the Catholics for most of the night, he threw off his own battle garments, threw his helmet to the ground, and ran out to join them and to die with the others for Christ. Thus, after one night of agony, all 40 of these men went straight to heaven to enjoy the love and the gifts of God and an eternal bliss for all eternity. Now, my dear friends, since Christmas, the Sunday Gospels have recorded for us the events of our Lord's early life. We have gone in order from his birth to his presentation. We have seen the coming of the Magi, and ultimately last week we had his first public miracle at Cana. Then in today's gospel, though, we skip over an entire year of our Lord's public life, and there's related the two stories that happened today. This is after the Sermon on the Mount. So we might wonder, what is the reason why Holy Mother the Church makes such a large jump, as it were? Well, the reason is that this Sunday acts as a connector, so to speak, for all the other Gospels that we have read. This Sunday, we read in the Gospel about the gift and the virtue of faith. Faith is the virtue which leads us to believe all that the Gospels have taught, all that God himself has taught. This gospel passage reminds us then that everything that is wonderful about the Christmas season, everything that we believe, is based on our faith. And also, by presenting to us these two miraculous cures, this passage shows us the great benefits that can be received from having a true and lively faith. For you see, at the time of today's events, our Lord, as I mentioned, had just finished the Sermon on the Mount, and he had clearly preached his doctrine for all the people to hear. The kingdom of Christ on earth was thus being formed, and today we hear two of the first people to profess their absolute faith in Christ. The first was a leper. Now, lepers were not allowed in public, and thus this man showed a great bravery and courage as he approached our Lord, knowing that he could be very easily punished for appearing in public. But the leper did not care. He did not worry. He believed in our Lord, and it was his firm faith which led him to ask for a cure. He knew our Lord could do anything he willed, and so he simply said, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." Of course, our Lord did cleanse the man of his leprosy in recognition of this great faith. And after this, our Lord was then almost immediately approached by one of the most interesting characters in the New Testament, a man who is a pagan, a Roman, and a centurion. This man had three qualities that would have made him hated by any Jew. He was a Gentile, he was Roman, and far worse, he was a leader of the oppressive Roman soldiers. But this man knew, through the gift of faith, that our Lord was no mere Jew, that he was the Son of God and that he could command all things, including the disease that was racking his servant, with just a simple word. And so he said those words of such strong faith, words which the church still uses today, yet one of the most solemn moments of the Mass. Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof. Say but the word, and my servant shall be healed. These words were so impressive, especially coming from a Gentile, that our Lord willed to marvel at them. Now, of course, our Lord could not be taken off guard, but he marveled so that all the men around could see how great was the faith of this centurion. And in light of this faith, our Lord not only healed the servant, but even gave the man a most outstanding compliment when he said, "Amen, I say to you, I have not found such great faith in Israel." And it's this virtue of faith shown by the leper and by the centurion which the church wishes to remind us of today. It is our faith in the Lord which has allowed us to see more than just a simple babe in a manger or an intelligent young child among the elders in the temple or one who could produce wine when it was needed at a wedding feast. It is our faith which gives us not only the joys of Christmas, but also the consolations we need to persevere in doing what is right throughout the entire year. Faith, as a holy priest has stated, is the dawn of the light of heaven. For those who at the one true Catholic faith, their faith is supported by a supernatural hope. All the grace that we hope to receive on earth, all the joys that we look forward to experiencing in heaven, these are all rested on the foundation of our faith in God and in the truths which he has revealed. There is no break, then, in continuity, one priest has stated, between the faith and the beatific vision. For all the amazing joys of heaven, the compassionate and loving face of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the spotlessly pure beauty and dignity of our Blessed Mother, and the eternal peace and contentment, freedom from all of our trials and sufferings. This, our faith tells us, is waiting for us in heaven. What an amazing gift, then, our faith is. And since it is such a wonderful and free gift from God, we must do our very best not only to keep it, but to make sure that it grows. As the Kyrie of Ars said, the precious gift of faith will be taken from us and given to others if we do not make a practical use of it. That means we have to make the faith something very special to us and something that we take great heed in and put great stock in throughout the entire week and not just on Sunday mornings at Mass. When we think of the world and how they act towards what's important to them, it is not a strange thing to have numbers like 20 million people stand in line when a Hollywood blockbuster movie is opening up in the theaters for one night. Over a million people recently stood in line to be able to say that they were the first ones to buy a video game that was being released. Some people stand in line for these things for hours on end, ready to spend $500 and even more than that to be able to say that they experienced a movie or they bought a video game or a video game console on the very first night it was available. In short, for these poor people, video games or movies or the ability to tell someone in their life that they were the first ones there, they go to such great lengths to be able to say this and to accomplish these things. Should it be said that for traditional Catholics, we feel less strongly about our faith than these people do about their video games and their movies? I realize, my dear friends, that the world, the flesh, and the devil are not warring against people who are standing in line for a movie, like they war against us who are trying to keep our one true Catholic faith. But still, we have to prove our appreciation for the faith day in and day out. When we are in public, we can show our appreciation for the faith simply by saying our grace before meals. If we're invited to a party or an outing on a day of fast or abstinence, we can make sure that we follow the church's laws while we are there. For most of us, we can make a strong effort to keep our Lord consoled and to make reparation to Him, especially on the first Fridays or on Thursday nights from 11 to midnight. We can say extra prayers of reparation either here in the chapel or even in our own homes in honor of the sufferings He endured during His passion. All the sacrifices that we make to increase our faith so that we do not lose it, as St. John Vianney warned us we may, all these sacrifices we do to increase the faith will be rewarded richly in heaven for all eternity. In today's gospel, we saw for a leper and for a centurion the great reward that they received immediately for their faith. The infirmities that they sought to have healed were healed. And confident that such rewards await all those with a strong faith, let us resolve today to increase our faith by appreciating it more and more, and by thanking God for it by acts of reparation. And now I would just like to leave you with the words that the good Curie of Ars once ended a similar sermon to his own flock. Be strong in your faith in spite of difficulties. Preserve it constantly so that you will have the grace of beholding your God face to face in the hereafter, a blessing which I wish for you all. May Almighty God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.